Hello, grandchildren of all shapes and sizes and ages. Welcome to another Stunt Granny Audio. Eric and Kevin here. Kevin, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good after a long evening of softball.
Ah, yeah, how'd that go?
First game went well. Ended up having the winning RBIs there in the bottom of the seventh, which was pretty cool. And the second game did not go so well. Did not get a whole lot of help from the umpire, but I don't think we were really going to win it either. So I'm not going to really bust his balls too much.
Fair enough. Word. Well, if I knew anything about athletics, I would chime in. I went 4-for-16 last time I got batting tokens for a batting cage. Now I'm a little bit better than that. Yeah, we are here to talk about fake athletics, actually. We're here to talk about professional wrestling and injuries that could possibly hinder people from performing well in baseball and other sports, I guess. My God, what's the deal with this rash of injuries lately, Mr. DeFrango?
Yeah, it really is the rash of injuries, to say the least.
And they're coming at bad times, too.
Yeah, well, it's Matt Hardy, his injury, oh my God. I can't believe that fucking tool bag magic's on here again. Matt Hardy, well, actually, he might have done a lot better since they moved him back to SmackDown.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I agree.
You know, I don't know what the... And I can almost tie this into Raw right now, but I don't want to go ahead and do that right away.
Okay.
But suppose I can get back to that when we talk talk more specifically about Raw. But, yeah, that kind of sucks. But, yeah, those are both SmackDown injuries essentially now.
Yeah, and just because you mentioned that, Matt Hardy on his Twitter, oh, man, now all of a sudden Stunt Granny is going to start talking about Twitter like it's fucking be-all, end-all of the Internet. But Matt Hardy was making it sound like he was super excited to go over to SmackDown, and then this – curse befell him. He injured his hand, you know, back at were they still calling it Backlash back then? The where they had the Extreme Rules match, or I don't know what the fuck. Jeff had the no disqualification match that ended with Matt's hand getting broken. It just made his full recovery. I think I read that on JR's barbecue blog. Something like Matt had just made a full recovery from the hand injury when he tore his abdominal muscle to the point where he couldn't wrestle, at least not comfortably anymore, and had to have surgery. But, yeah, I mean, he had been tweeting this whole time, like, yeah, I'm ready to be on SmackDown, ready. And, oh, shut up about my gut, ready. And now it's
happening. Yeah, and I guess that does make a fairly handy explanation if his stomach was hurting him, why he was getting a little, not that he was ever Mr. Six-Pack there or anything.
Right, but he was also never, like, Bastion Booger. So, not like he was, you know, increasing exponentially or anything like that. Plus, I mean, my God, for the last how long, he's also been wearing a tank top for the last 3 months. Save that for the
yeah.
Movie. But,
yeah. That does kind of explain that, at least.
Sure, yeah, definitely. But, yeah, and then he went on to explain how it happened. You can read about it everywhere. But, yeah, so that was a really crappy time for him. And it's, I mean, I guess the reason I said it's just a bad time overall, you've got, I guess, think what you will about Mr. Kennedy, but he was just released. Umaga, who had been cooled way, way down, until he came back and then beat CM Punk at a pay-per-view, for God's sake, just got released. So, I mean, there's a couple guys who could have made some tread marks maybe here and there, and they got released. Michaels and Undertaker still not ready to come back yet. And then we lose Matt Hardy, who's been on the cusp of greatness for 5 years now. But as JR likes to say, can't pay the bills with potential, King. And then,
I'll tell you what, they're definitely not, potential is not paying for anything but a very, very small doghouse in Shelton Benjamin's case.
Oh, sad Shelton. Poor guy. But yeah, then, and it happened to Edge, too. Edge goes down with an injury, and God, did you or did Jeremy post that? the actual injury post?
Jeremy
did. Yeah, I was.
Yeah,
I was just
me
like,
and weekend on my computer is usually not not happen.
Gotcha. No, I even left a comment under Jeremy's post. I said that I was just kind of patrolling the internet late at night and read that it was a house show report on some hack website, and I was bummed. I was trying to corroborate it on any other real legitimate website, and I didn't see it anywhere because everybody else goes to bed at a reasonable time. But yeah, I was like, oh, it would have been great to kind of almost sort of be the front runner of the story. Yeah, Edge tore his Achilles tendon at a house show on July 3rd. What a shitty injury that is.
Yeah, that one is not an easy one to recover from. So
yeah,
he is out for some time.
Do we know officially? He had a surgery today.
Yeah.
Under the watchful eye of James Andrews, of course.
And this is the omnipotent eye of James Andrews, practically.
gravy. Yeah, I don't know. What is this, July? So obviously he's going to miss SummerSlam. Probably miss Survivor Series too, right? That's November. That's 4 months away. August, September, October, November. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, most of the times, at least in the NFL, if someone's had an Achilles, it's kept them out for damn near a year, so.
Oh, really? My God.
Yeah.
The important thing is that Edge just heals up. I mean, he's actually talked in interviews for almost the last year about a bunch of nagging injuries that he'd really like to be able to take time off. After he wrestled Undertaker at SummerSlam last year, then their Hell in the Cell match.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. He got tossed to hell there, and he was down. Yeah, it was 08. How long was he out for? A couple months after that?
I want to say he came back at Survivor Series because he was like the surprise entrant for that triple threat match where he won the belt, and he came back all like, was he, I can't remember if he shaved right before the pay-per-view or right after it.
Yeah, it was right after.
Okay.
Yeah, because he was kind of, Mike Knox, that was kind of weird. Mike Knox had just started growing out the Grizzly Adams beard, and then Edge comes back with something equivalent. I'm like, okay, you know, one knee-length beard is enough, really. We don't need two of them.
Awesome. Yeah, but that was, Edge took, so there he would have taken 3 months off. And, 3 months is 3 months, but I can imagine a guy who's been on the road for 11 years minus 1 year off for a neck injury. This should probably be welcome, maybe a blessing in disguise, possibly. I don't know.
I have to think at least a little bit. I don't know how much rehab goes into, Achilles heel injury. And you can't imagine he's going to be able to do much walking around, really.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Being
in
a boot.
It'll be a while before he can even do cardio, I'm sure, and just start knocking the rust off.
Yeah.
Shitty deal for him. I mean, Edge is the best. How do you feel about Edge? I think I've made my opinions pretty obvious, but I think Edge is a fucking man right now. But what do you think of him?
Yeah, it's really kind of hard to take anything away from him. He was smart enough to get himself, or lucky enough to get himself established on SmackDown where he can actually prosper as a heel.
Yes.
And somehow he got out of a year under the watchful eye of Triple H without becoming a complete and utter fucking waste of space, which is fairly impressive, really.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'd have to lay the man either at his feet or Jericho's cracking me up, but they obviously really after the Shawn Michaels program there, that's what I was trying to spit out. There really hasn't been it's quite – I mean, I like the stuff they did with Ray, but I don't know if it's quite on the same level there.
Story wise, it was kind of kid-ish, kid friendly, but match wise, obviously.
Yeah, I think we already blew them for their pay-per-view match, so they can avoid that blowing. So yeah, I mean, if Edge isn't number one, he's definitely number two. So I mean, it's kind of hard to to argue that point.
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, people might mention Randy Orton in that same breath. And hopefully we get a chance to start talking about CM Punk in this fashion, too, here in the next couple of weeks. I haven't read any spoilers of SmackDown.
Yeah.
But Jeremy said he's excited for SmackDown this week. And apparently Punk just goes nuts cutting a promo. So we'll see about that.
Well, I thought I liked his promo this week, really, this past week.
Okay. I missed that, I think. I did miss it.
Yeah, so that was pretty fucking good. And you know what? Jeremy didn't mention that. I think I did tweet that, actually. That really, because he had mentioned Morrison and who the fuck else jumping up there?
Heck, I'm not sure. Dolph?
Yeah, Dolph. Yeah, my boy Dolph. That'd be pretty cool. But really, I'm not sure what they had in mind for CM Punk.
Uh-huh.
Like, were they going to make him, were they going to give him a transitional champ stature? Or were they going to finally let him roll with the belt for more than a month, you know?
Right. That's,
and at this point, with Edge going down, and they're definitely leaning him more in the heel territory at this point. I mean, they were kind of teetering there for maybe a week or two. But, I mean, I think they really need to push him over the edge. Push him over the edge,
yeah.
In more ways than one.
Yeah.
I did not mean. I did not intend that awful joke, but I think this is the time to really let them let CM Punk go and let him, run with the fucking ball.
Yeah, I think, and they've got to realize that. I mean, how many times has JR talked about wrestlers who need to grab the brass ring? When other people go down an injury or leave, and he'll talk until he's blue in the fucking face about Kevin Nash and Scott Hall leaving, and here comes Steve Austin, rah, rah, rah. And this is one of those times where, if you've got Edge, who is your top heel on SmackDown, going to be gone for potentially a year, maybe, he might. I don't know if
maybe
he's back for Royal Rumble, maybe WrestleMania, but, I mean, other than Jericho over there, who's obviously great, but then Matt Hardy, who is going to be kind of your second level, potentially working his way up into main event other heel. Now, he's still out for a while. And CM Punk wants it, and he's professional, and he's awesome, and he's been at this for years now. He's a guy who can take this brass ring. He can grab this by the nut and fucking just go. This is Punk's time to shine. Oh, my God, I'm starting to get excited. Oh, Punk, he's going to be great. Yes, I'm a nerd for CM Punk. I don't care what people think, fuckers. He's like CM Punk because he has a Ring of Honor, a boutique wrestling federation. Fuck yourselves. He's great wherever he is. He was great in Major League Wrestling down in Florida, feuding with Ravens, for Christ's sake.
Oh, man. Yeah. So, they do have more room to go with things there. I don't know if I'm particularly, excited that Edge went down, but, they definitely have more of the potential to move people up on SmackDown than they do on Raw.
Yep.
And, well, considering that they fucking gutted ECW.
Right.
It's kind of hard to really say anything about that. Because, I mean, even on a second level, if Matt Hardy was going to be a second level heel guy, I mean, you've got to think that maybe the Hart Dynasty gets a little more of a chance to shine. Of course, poor D.H. Smith got fucking bitch slapped this past week on SmackDown, so I don't know. I don't think that's going to help a whole lot.
I know he was getting ragged on backstage. People were saying he doesn't have quite enough charisma. Just keep giving him more mic time. Keep letting him cut his teeth. Trial by fire.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the one thing, and I was kind of going to mention this about JR. It's just like, when they kind of like dangle the brass ring in front of you and you're jumping for it, and then they decide to yank it a little bit higher every time you jump, and then you jump a little bit higher every time, it's just like, seriously, motherfucker, I can't grab the ring if you keep on fucking yanking it out of my reach just for shits and giggles, just for your own goddamn entertainment.
Yeah, and eventually you're going to tire of trying to jump. I mean, To go back to Shelton, they gave him a victory over Triple H, and it's like, okay, let's have him wrestle him again. Okay, let's have him wrestle him again, but lose by count out. Okay, let's have him get pinned by Triple H. Well, all right. If I'm Shelton, I'm starting to feel like a rat swimming around in a bucket of water. Eventually, I'm just going to stop swimming, drown, and, well, collect a paycheck.
Yep. And
yeah,
I mean, he is. He's the perfect example. It's just like, come on. Like, and I mean, I think really JR, I think, realizes that. I would hope he does. Because,
yeah.
I mean, how many times does he mention he's not in talent relations or doesn't do any writing or anything like that?
Uh-huh.
It's like he's almost always insinuating, don't blame this on me.
Yeah. And then, but still, like, for in that way, he'll word it that way. But then he'll also kind of throw in, I'm not in talent relations, but, you know, keep your eye on D.H. Smith, folks. Like, okay, well, you know, I'll tell you what then. Like I said, let him cut his teeth on a live microphone or a taped live microphone. Maybe put D.H. Smith and Tyson Kidd on headsets with J.R. and Todd Grisham, and maybe let J.R. kind of guide them into getting more charismatic and creating more of a character. Maybe let him ask some questions that those guys are forced to answer on headset and talk their way through it in character and develop even more.
Yeah, because, I mean, I honestly can't – I mean, I can't think of how much promo time he's gotten because – Natalya's talked for really both of them.
Yeah. Yep.
A couple of times that they had speeches on ECW, so it's kind of like, well, okay. You know, how
well,
can he, maybe he does lack charisma. I mean, I'm not saying they're wrong, really, the backstage,
yeah.
Whatever the backstage is, but I mean, when you don't have any proof one way or the other, it's kind of like, well, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't.
Right, yeah. You know what, then, put Natalya in a program with a couple of the chicks, let her talk about herself and let those other two guys talk for themselves. It's the only way it's going to happen. And I don't know, this isn't a natural segue at all, but I was thinking, it kind of is. Let's say the same thing happened on Raw. God forbid Triple H goes down with another quad injury, let's say, and I don't know. It,
John Cena tears his left pec instead of
his
right
something
pec.
Like that. I mean, shit, even Batista's out right now. And I don't know, so there's a couple, let's say that, yeah, Triple H tears his quad, and they've got a couple main eventers down. I hate to say it, but I'm looking at the Raw roster, and I'm not banking on Kofi Kingston to step up to the plate the same way CM Punk did. Not really super excited about the way the Big Show would work as a veteran presence the same way that Chris Jericho is going to over on SmackDown. Something about Raw just doesn't...
Well, yeah,
know.
The only guy that... oh, God, and this kind of goes back to that, too. Fuck it, I'm just going to mention it. The only guy that they have room to move up, really, especially in the face department right now, is Mr. Cheesmo himself, MVP.
Yeah, and he and Jack Swagger had a nice little exchange on Monday Night Raw this last week.
Yeah, but, you know, and this is the thing, and I'm sitting here, I'm like, yeah, I kind of like the idea of this matchup, but MVP has gone nowhere.
Actually, yeah.
I mean, he isn't even treading water. Like, he needs a fucking snorkel.
Yeah, sorry. After I got done saying what I said, as you started talking, I thought, okay, sure, that might have been a good exchange between those two, but then again, who's it elevating? I mean, it's not... CM Punk and Edge and Jeff Hardy, and those three have been working together now for the last couple of months to really help each other out and help Punk out. Who the fuck's helped MVP? Nobody.
Hey. Nope.
And now he's got to wrestle Jack Swagger.
Yeah, and it's just like, okay, they just brought him over. There's no, like, I just don't see them jobbing out Swagger. It's just like,
right.
What the fuck, you know?
And if people want to liken that to, like, The Rock and Triple H kind of helping each other out in the summer of 98 or something like that, like, well, that's nice, I guess, but, like, Jack Swagger is no Rock, that's for sure. And
no.
And Triple H had gotten his rub for the last 2 years from everybody else that he's not giving to anybody. I mean, his association with Shawn Michaels and his matches with Bret Hart and the like, you know, shit, give a little bit of that to somebody, you selfish fuck.
And I can't even think of, like, a minor match that MVP has won, you know, within recent memory, really. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, they haven't even had him fight, I was going to say Zack Ryder, but he's on fucking ECW, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, MVP lost a good match to Orton and lost a dumb short match to Triple H. And those are the high-profile matches he's had since coming to Raw.
And he had the triple threat match for the U.S. belt on whatchamahicket there at WGN there.
Oh, right, yeah.
So.
I don't know. There's such a lack of foresight. God, it'd be great if somebody would help MVP.
Yeah.
While you still can, before you get injured too, help this man out. Gen DiBiase. Fuck. Christ. Losing to Randy Orton isn't helping anybody.
Oh, yeah. Although, I guess if they wanted to keep that team together, that was kind of the way to go about things, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, there's a chink in the armor, but they're still a faction, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if I was quite as pissed about that one. I thought they could have handled that better for DiBiase's sake, but whatever, you know, I don't think it's that big of a deal because they've been treated like shit for the most part, too, so.
Yep. Oh, my God, we've harped on that forever.
Yep, nothing new in that territory, so.
That's been groundbreaking there. I don't know. So I guess it's another one of those instances where we get to talk about injuries and hope that can take lemons and make lemonade. See what happens. It's going to suck being without Edge, being sans Edge for a while. But
it is going to suck.
But I don't know. Like Matt Hardy said in his tweet, that gives him plenty of time to interact with us, his MFers and his whatevers. Hooray. Sit on the internet more. As I called him on the Torch VIP forum. For more details, go to pwtorch.com for the place to sign up for the forum. I called Matt Hardy the boring Brian Pillman. So, yeah, we'll see how this time off treats him, and hopefully he comes back just as excited as he was before. What else? What else are we going to discuss? Actually, speaking of, he doesn't like being called injury prone. But speaking of the injury prone, Mr. Kennedy's still in the news.
I didn't even read that, actually.
Well, he had an offer to come wrestle in Carlos Colon's World Wrestling Council in Puerto Rico. And the offer was to wrestle Umaga, so two recently cut WWE wrestlers wrestling each other in Puerto Rico. And WWE's working relationship with Carlos Colon is good. And we can actually talk about his two sons here in a minute if we like. But apparently relationship is good enough that WWE gave Kennedy permission to wrestle during his 90-day no-compete. And I don't know, maybe they had to do the same with Umaga. I'm assuming he's got a 90-day also. So
one would imagine.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck else there is to talk about other than the match is going to happen. But those two are
going to
wrestle.
Good for him. Get a little bit of practice in there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe, you know what, come to think of it, maybe they are saying, maybe if they look decent down there, they'll have a set of eyes down there. Maybe they'll get a phone call. Maybe Ken will get a phone call again and say, you know what, we need some people back right now because we are kind of fucking shorthanded.
Yep. Well, and I mean, that puts, that puts Mr. Kennedy in the driver's seat, really. It's, but then again, he'd be stupid to just totally deny an offer from WWE. Honestly, I think this has happened more than once, and I can't really think of a good example of it, but I know it's happened. If a guy's going to sit on the shelf this long, I don't care what kind of business you're in, you can't really afford to just keep flushing money down the toilet. Eventually, you're going to have to save some of that money back. So, yeah, it's entirely possible that they're gonna maybe rework a contract down the road with him. But in the meantime, like, dude, you've been off for fucking 2 years. We can't keep giving you money for doing nothing. We spank a shit. His salary plus the budget for Behind Enemy Lines Columbia, which my friend downloaded and then burned a copy for me. There's at least two copies. There's at least $40 that you didn't make on this stupid shitty movie. This should come as no surprise that he got released. But yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe he'll impress, and who knows? Maybe he'll come back in short order.
Yep, I'm not saying one way or the other whether it's going to be a good thing or not, but, you know, hey, it's certainly possible.
Here, let me throw this out here, too. I'm not going to probably go off on a real rant, necessarily. I posted this earlier tonight, and that kind of was my rant. But speaking of WWE making decisions for people and saying, yes, you can do this, or no, you can't do that, this weekend is the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame induction at the Dan Gable International Wrestling Institute and Museum in Waterloo, Iowa. I'll be there. I go there all the time. I went there when they were in Newton, Iowa. I went there when I lived in Waterloo, so that was easy. And then Jordan, a.k.a. Big Round Wizard, is coming all the way to Iowa also for the festivities, and one of the inductees is Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. This was announced months and months and months ago. I've been excited. I thought it'd be cool to meet Ricky Steamboat, shake his hand, thank him for decades of entertainment. So I was all excited to meet Ricky the Dragon Steamboat this weekend. And what do I read on ProWrestling.net, Jason Powell's website? I read that Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, and this was on July 2nd, I think. Let me make absolutely sure, but I'm pretty sure it was July 2nd. I read on .net that Ricky the Dragon Steamboat was being called up to wrestle. July 3rd. This is exactly the timestamp. July 3rd, 2:32 p.m. Ricky Steamboat returning to the ring this weekend to wrestle Chris Jericho. Okay?
Yeah.
The reason that I wanted to point out the timestamp is because I think Jeremy might have said, well, maybe did they call him up because of the Edge thing? I don't want to hear that as an excuse at all, because Edge injured himself. If that was timestamped July 3rd at 2:30 p.m., that injury happened July 3rd at like 9 p.m., okay? So this Ricky Steamboat thing on WWE's part has been in the works for a while, and it has nothing to do with Edge's injury. So I'm like, what? And now I'm starting to put two and two together. I'm like, fuck, I'm not going to get to see Ricky Steamboat in Waterloo, Iowa, accepting his into the induction into the Hall of Fame, because fucking dickhead WWE decided to use him on a tour. I don't care if they're going to be in Hawaii. He lives in Charlotte, North Carolina, for fuck's sake. Then they're going over to Japan. Like, this is fucking shadeball horseshit that WWE is trying to pull, costing me a chance to see Ricky the Dragon Steamboat for the first time in my life. God damn it. Oh, it pisses me off. Anyway,
yeah.
I think they do.
Sorry, maybe Jordan can smooth things over for you this weekend.
He can be my wingman. We can go out and drink beers, and then he can tell pretty girls funny stories about me, like how I was on Double Dare when I was 12. And it's funny because that didn't actually happen. But it's a good story. Anyone out there is ever playing wingman, go across the bar and find a hot chick and then point at your buddy. And then tell her that your buddy was on Double Dare, because then she'll go over immediately and try sparking a conversation with him. You were on Double Dare? And then if you're ever on the receiving end of that, make sure you're good at telling a quick story. Like, tell her that you were on the red team and that you lost. But Mark Summers
you
was
got
still
slimed.
Backstage. Yeah, yeah. When you're doing the physical challenges, Mark Summers had to go backstage because he's got OCD.
Yeah, he was scrubbing himself clean.
He's got stock in Purell. Anyway, I just had to say something about that because I'm so excited for this weekend. Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame, Waterloo, Iowa. If anyone needs any more details, go to wrestlingmuseum.org and check it out. Nick Bockwinkel is scheduled to be there. He's being inducted this year. Ivan Koloff is getting a special award. I posted about that. Mike Mooneyham, we see his name come up every 3 days because he's always writing a news story for the Charleston Post Courier, I think his newspaper's called.
Sure.
Yeah, so, you know, important journalist in wrestling receiving a journalism award at the museum. I just posted about this Ricky Steamboat thing, and there's a press release that Mad Dog Vachon is going to be there, Danny Hodge will be there, Larry the Axe Hennig will be there, Baron von Raschke, my homeboy, cooler than the other side of the cucumber, Baron von Raschke will be there. Can't wait to shake his hand again. He won't have a fucking clue who I am, but that's okay.
Not even a little one.
Nope. But anyway, wrestlingmuseum.org. Check it out and learn more about the awesome wrestling museum we have in Iowa. But anyway, I had to get that off my chest. Thanks for letting me babble for a minute.
No, that's cool, you know. Hey, that's what we do here. That's the way we roll.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Anything else we wanted to talk about? Did we want to do any sort of major, minor recap of Raw? Short, big, little, small? Any specifics you want to talk about? It sounded like you weren't too excited about the Triple H John Cena match as you were watching it.
Oh, well, of course, I think by the end of that, I realized why it was just such a shit-tastic match.
Why?
They were trying to milk the crowd and make it more... it was kind of a moment, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because you really do have probably the two most popular guys on the roster going at it.
Yeah.
You know, whether that qualifies them as better is a whole different subject, but... You know, so, yeah, it's kind of a big moment, but, man, they really milked that beginning, and the match was kind of slow, and then, of course, we end up with a double DQ, and it's just like, you were already pissing off the general manager to start with. Why would you do something that goddamn stupid? Like, Randy Orton was not thinking two steps ahead on that one.
Right, yeah. Yeah, this is not the first time that Randy Orton's been kind of played for the fool. And, I mean, I know they did it with Batista last week in the gauntlet match, and I feel like, I don't know, they need to be careful not to make him look too foolish if they want him to be that serious, angry heel. Yeah, I guess that's the end of my thought, really.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that really is about the end of it, too, period.
And I will say, and I'm sure this is obvious from, you could tell what was going on from Jump Street, but for the record, check out an old audio from sometime last week or so. I called it, there'll be a triple threat match at Night of Champions. At this point, you can't have a winner between Triple H and John Cena. But Triple H won that Battle Royal by throwing Cena out. That's about as close as you're going to get to a decisive victory between those two right now, especially on free TV. So a triple threat match was kind of a necessity.
Yeah, and you know, I was going to... Oh, gosh. I guess we do, we already covered Swagger MVP, so that's cool.
Yeah, we could talk about Carlito turns on his brother Primo, oh no.
Yeah. Just when they had wrestled, like, their best fucking match as a team there
yeah.
against Edge and Jericho. But, well, it was actually last week's match that I thought was better. This week's match was fine, but I thought last week's was even better.
Well,
and then they break them up for God knows what reason. You know, well, because tag team wrestling obviously sucks, doesn't draw, and, you know.
That
you know,
sounds
it
like
does.
A self-fulfilling prophecy to me, Kevin.
Well, yeah.
Draw, it does not draw. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know that. It's shocking how that works, isn't it?
It sure is.
Yeah, it's kind of like the whole, going back to the whole brass ring, getting raised up every time somebody fucking jumps for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm sensing a pattern here, and I wouldn't have thought that it was going to happen with the Primos, or the Colognes, considering they're brothers. Like, I guess but the pattern is, get a tag team, like Miz and Morrison are the first ones that come to mind. They wrestled on every damn show. And as we all talked about this before, they'd wrestle on Raw. And they'd wrestle on ECW and defend the tag team belt. They do a dirt sheet on ECW. They go out and wrestle on SmackDown. And then the next week, it'd be all three shows again. They'd have it. They'd have their act down. It'd be awesome. Everyone's behind them. Like, this is fucking great, great team. They lose the belts. They break up. Boom, boom, boom. Just like that. And they did the same thing with the Colognes, wrestling great matches against everybody on every show, lose the belts, break them up. So it's like maybe the tag team scene is sort of the next step, the proving ground to see, you know, who's going to be the next single star. I guess I don't quite understand how that works. How?
Yeah.
Oh, you had good tag team matches. You're going to be the next Intercontinental Champion. What? Okay.
Well, it could work out. You know, it's just another one of those, you know, Swagger could have used a little more seasoning in ECW. I think some of the tag teams could, you know, use a little more brew in there.
Yeah.
To just make them flat more popular before a turn happens like that.
Yeah.
It's just like...
Yeah, it's like when these guys are just hitting their stride as a team. Then,
yeah.
Oh, great. Then we get the rug swept out from under us yet again.
Yep.
I don't know. That's kind of
so.
Hard, but do what it do. I guess we'll see what they do with both of these guys, and it'll be the battle of the prepubescent facial hair, and then see where they go from there, I guess.
Yep, and not that I have anything against it, but Gail Kim getting the win this week was kind of funky in the women's department there.
Yeah, they've done this before, and I've seen them do it with women especially, and I don't quite understand why. But they'll have a championship match established. It'll be like a week away, 2 weeks away, and it's okay to plan ahead, but when you're kind of force-feeding this stuff, you know, they always have the challenger pin the champion. That's a given. For Raw, you could fucking set your watch to the segment where they're going to have the challenger beat the champion. But it seems like they always have the next challenger beat the champion when they've already got a championship match established. So it's weird.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
They've been building up Mickey James and Maryse for like a month now.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gail Kim randomly gets the win. It's like, okay, like, I don't really mind. I like Gail Kim as a wrestler.
Yeah.
But this is just kind of funky.
Yeah.
I don't understand the timing.
I don't know. I mean, Night of Champions is obviously such an important pay-per-view. So much thought into the planning beforehand. I don't know. Maybe they'll just blame Edge's Achilles tendon snap. Oh, we had to push Gail Kim. We had to create more interest because Matt Hardy hasn't about. Oh, you're kind of trailing off there. Anywho, yeah, I don't know. What else?
Yeah, the other last little thing was Evan Bourne and your boy Kofi Kingston there.
Fuck that guy. I think I even asked that question too. Evan Bourne comes to Raw, and I said, what's he going to do, babyface feud with Kofi Kingston? Well, they had a match, it's not a feud, and it probably won't be a feud. Whatever.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure Evan Bourne won too, didn't he?
Yeah, he won, and they definitely... good gravy. Did they replay the shit out of his shooting star press, which
yep.
deserves everything that it gets.
Yeah, if nothing else, give WWE credit for production-wise getting behind a big move like that. I mean, you'd see Rob Van Dam's 5-star frog splash from practically every angle in the building. But I was
yep.
trying to get down into way slow motion on the last one, so that's kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah, I think that they actually view him with a lot of potential. I don't fucking understand. I don't know if they're going to have, like, three-way matches for every damn match, if it's going to be, like, Kofi versus Evan versus Big Show for the U.S. title or something gay like that.
Right.
Along with the three-way for the women's title and
yeah.
a three-way for the fucking big belt.
Yeah, and then vacate the tag team belts and find all the spare tag teams they can. Get to reunite Jesse and Festus. get Crime Time up in there. And God, do they even have any? Get the Bella Twins. I don't fucking know who else there is.
Hey, you know, they may as well be in a fucking tag team match with the other guys.
Yeah. Get the racial stereotypes of Abraham Washington and Sheamus to team up. anyway. Yeah, I don't know. Is there anything else that's worth mentioning?
No, those topics really didn't have a whole lot of steam, so they kind of deserve that express treatment, really.
Yep. All right, fair enough. Well, then, time to sign off, I do believe, cobble this thing together and post it. Yeah, thank you, everybody, by the way. We're hitting some pretty big numbers as far as viewers go on StuntGranny.com. I don't know where you're all coming from, but yeah, it's been awesome.
Yeah, and you know the other thing that I forgot to mention, now that Jeremy has figured out his fucking link system there that you explained to me, but I partially ignored while you're explaining. You know, we should start mentioning that we're trying to put like either at least I am a lot of afterthoughts from what we record here, or just little pissant observations that really aren't worth mentioning on the audio really itself up there, and that's Stunt Granny there on Twitter. Like I don't think we're looking for a revolution or anything, just kind of an extra tool to not completely clog up the site with some you know short random observations there.
Yeah, I noticed you did that during Raw, which is awesome. You know, it's like no real purpose to create an entire new post on stuntgranny.com to express how much you like Randy Orton's knee drop. But
yeah,
I wouldn't have known that
really.
if you hadn't put it on Twitter. That was awesome. I was flipping through there, and I'm like, oh, snap, yeah, that's a good point. So, yeah,
Yeah.
definitely check us out on Twitter.
Yeah, just one of those things, you know. It really, like you said, it's not worth a full post just saying I like Randy Orton's knee drop. Fuck, really, we needed a post for that.
But yeah, definitely. You know, we're stepping into the 20th century here with this technology. No, I did not miss
yep.
I am making jokes. But
we're
yeah.
whoring out to try and get the get up the. Now that we've gotten to the crack the 500 plateau, I think we should get up to try and get 4 digits now as our next aim.
God, that would be great. Let's see, we've been on the internet now for 11 months, and so yeah, take it slowly but surely. But yeah, this has been great. The increased traffic. Hopefully, everyone likes what they see, likes what they hear, and keeps coming back. Tell all your friends. Yeah, Stunt Granny is where it's at, where people swear, and and it's exciting.
Yep.
Cool. All right. Well, in that case, I'm going to call it a night. So everybody have a good one, and we'll get a couple more things posted, maybe even a couple of audios. Dusty and I have a surprise workout for everybody. We'll get some new audio beatings for your ear here planned soon, and then prepare
cool.
for what's going on at the Wrestling Hall of Fame this weekend. So I'm out.
Okie doke. Well, because of the late hour that we've started this, grandkids, I've already had my sippy time beer, so it's ready to go to bed. Time for Grandpa. Night.